ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 3. Today we are beginning the third chapter of the 10th Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll just read the chapter summary. This chapter is entitled as The Birth of Lord Krishna. As described in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Hari, in his original form appeared as Vishnu, so that his father and mother could understand that their son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they were afraid of Kamsa, when the Lord appeared as an ordinary child, they took him to Gokul, the home of Nanda Maharaj. Mother Devaki, being fully transcendental, Satchidananda, does not belong to this material nature. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared with four hands, as if born from her womb. Upon seeing the Lord in that Vishnu form, Vasudeva was struck with wonder, and in transcendental happiness, he and Devaki mentally gave 10,000 cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Vasudev then offered prayers to the Lord, addressing him as the Supreme Person, Param Brahma, the Super Soul, who is beyond duality and who is internally and externally all-pervading. The Lord, the cause of all causes, is beyond material existence. The Lord, the cause of all causes, is beyond material existence, although he is the creator of this material world. When he enters this world as Paramatma, he is all-pervading, annantarastha paramanu jayantarastham. Yet he is transcendentally situated. For the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this world, material world, Lord appears as the Guna Avatar, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar. Thus, Vasudev offered prayers full of meaning to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki followed her husband by offering prayers describing the transcendental nature of the Lord. Fearing Kamsa and desiring that the Lord not be understood by atheist and materialistic non-devotees, she prayed that the Lord withdraw his transcendental four-armed form and appear like an ordinary child with two hands. Sorry. The Lord reminded Vasudev and Devaki of two other incarnations in which he had appeared as their son. He had appeared as Prishnigarbha and Vamandev. And now, this was the third time he was appearing as the son of Devaki to fulfill their desire. The Lord then decided to leave the residence of Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa. And at this very time, Jogamaya took birth as the daughter of Jasoda. By the arrangement of Jogamaya, Vasudeva was able to leave the prison house and save the child from the hands of Kamsa. When Vasudev brought Krishna to the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that by Jogamaya's arrangement, Jasoda, as well as everyone else, was deeply asleep. Thus he exchanged the babies, taking Jogamaya from Jasoda's lap and placing Krishna there instead. Then Vasudev returned to his own place. Having taken Jogamaya as his daughter, he placed Jogamaya on Devaki's bed and prepare to be a prisoner as before. In Gokul, Yashoda could not understand whether she had given birth to a male or a female child. The chapter begins with first few verses together, five verses together. So we'll just read them through and I'll read them through the first four verses and the fifth verse we can go through. His Holiness Jayadita Swami Maharaj Ki. So Maharaj, we are starting the third chapter of the 10th canto. I just read the chapter summary. Then the five verses are together. The chapter begins with five verses together. So I was thinking of reading the first four verses and then the fifth one probably we can read together. Is all right, Maharaj? Shri Shuka Ubacha, Atho Sarva Guna Petaha, Kalo Paramashobhanaha, Jarhi Eva Janam Arkshang, Shantarksha Grahatarukam, Disha Prashe Durga Gavanam Nirmalo Urugon Ganodayam Mahi Mangalo Bhuishtha Pura Grama Brajakara Nadda Prasanna Shalila Rida Jalo Ruhashriyaha Dijali Kula Sangnadas Tavaka Vanarajaya Bhavo Bayu Sukhasparsha Punnagandha Vahasuchihi Agnayascha Dijatinan Shantas Tatra Samindhata. Then comes to the fifth verse. Manasasan prasannani sadhunam suradruham jayamane jane tashmin nedur dundhu bhaya samam. Manang sasan prasannani. Please repeat. Sadhunam asura druham jayamane jane tasmin ne durdundhu bhayo samam. So please repeat after me. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all qualities of goodness, beauty and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared as did stars like Ashwini. The sun, the moon, and other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing. And the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. decorated with towns, villages and mines, and pasturing grounds. The earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs, full of lilies and lotuses, were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the brahmanas, engaging in ritualistic ceremonies, ignited their fires according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and brahmanas who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men felt peace within the core of their hearts. And kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary system. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that His appearance, birth and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them is immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man who is forced to accept a material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the previous chapter. He appears out of His own sweet pleasure. When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the constellation known as Rohini was all predominant because this constellation is considered very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma, who is born of Vishnu, and it appears at the birth of Lord Vishnu, who in fact is birthless. According to the astrological calculation, besides the proper situation of the stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to the different situation of the different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious. At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. Auspicious stars were visible in the sky and on the surface in all towns and villages, or pasturing grounds, and within the mind of everyone where there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the brahmanas were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Because of disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped by the houses of Brahmanas, in the houses of the Brahmanas. But now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmanas were very distressed in mind, intelligence and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds became full of joy because they could hear loud vibration in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the occasion of Lord Krishna's birth, seasonal changes took place throughout the entire universe. Krishna was born during the month of September, yet it appeared like springtime. The atmosphere, however, was very cool, although not chilly, and the rivers and reservoirs appeared just as they would in Sharad, the fall. Lotuses and lilies blossom during the day, but although Krishna appeared at 12 o'clock midnight, the lilies and lotuses were in bloom, and thus the wind blowing at that time was full of fragrance. Because of Kamsa's disturbances, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies had almost stopped. The Brahmanas and saintly persons could not execute the Vedic rituals with peaceful minds. But now the Brahmanas were very pleased to perform their daily ritualistic ceremonies undisturbed. The business of the Asuras is to disturb the Suras, the devotees and Brahmanas. But at the time of Krishna's appearance, these devotees and Brahmanas were undisturbed. So, Krishna's appearance is now being described by Srila Sukadev Goswami, and in the previous chapter you all discussed how when Krishna was in the womb of his mother, the demigods came to offer prayers to him, and now it's being described that Krishna is ready to appear. And when Krishna was about to appear, then everything became very, very auspicious, very joyful. Peace and prosperity prevailed everywhere. Because the material nature is controlled by different demigods. These demigods are the departmental heads of different departments of the universe. And they know, like in the previous chapter we saw how the demigods were offering prayers, and when Krishna was in the womb. And so they knew that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was coming. And now, just as when an important person comes to a house, we decorate our house, make all kinds of wonderful arrangements. So demigods created that wonderful arrangement throughout the universe. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is coming. Although they are not actually meant to be like that, but they all became everything. Like, generally material nature maintains an order. Like at different times, different seasons appear, and in different seasons, the seasons come with different characteristics. But here it seems that the nature at that time was became perfect because the Lord was coming, and that's why the demigods, because the Lord was coming, the demigods made the perfect arrangement everywhere. And Prabhupada is pointing out
that Krishna appeared in September, which is a time which is not really Sharad, and but all the symptoms of Sharad became manifest at that time, and everything was perfectly arranged, like all the stars and planets were perfectly situated, and so this is how when we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we prepare everything for His, in order to receive Him properly. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Controller, He is the Supreme Proprietor, and everyone else is His servant and subordinate. The demigods, no matter how powerful they are, after all, they all are His servants. Whereas Krishna is appearing just like an ordinary human being. Krishna is appearing not only in an ordinary way, Krishna was appearing in an extraordinary way. Krishna was appearing in the prison house of Kamsa. Generally, when the human babies are born, human children are born, they are taken care of by their relatives and well-wishers in such a wonderful way. She is sent to the, nowadays they are sent to the nursing homes, and the doctors and nurses take care of them. In the Vedic culture, there was no hospitals and nursing homes as such, but the special arrangements used to be made when she was born. She was about to give birth to the child. The mother was about to give birth to the child. And all the relatives and friends used to come and assist her. And she used to get the most wonderful treatment at that time. Because it is, this is a time when the mother needs a lot of help and support and guidance and care. But when we see Devaki and Vasudev, when Krishna is about to appear, there Devaki is in the womb. I'm sorry, Devaki is in the prison of Kamsa, shackled by chains. And in some Puran it has been described that a stone was placed on her chest so that she could move, in order to prevent the appearance of Kamsa, appearance of Krishna. Kamsa tried to take all kinds of precaution, but still he couldn't prevent the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so it is, and we understand that these are Krishna's pastimes. Why Krishna acts in this way? So that those who are favorable to Krishna, those who are favorably disposed, those who are not demoniac, those who are not inimical to Him, their heart becomes affected by these kind of situations. The distress of Mother Devaki and the appearance of Krishna at that time causes everybody's heart to become agonized. We feel pain that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is appearing in this way. And this is how, by enacting His pastimes, Krishna creates a situation that we automatically become attracted towards Him. And by being attracted to Him, we make spiritual advancement. We bring auspiciousness to our lives. Our lives become joyful. Krishna is suffering. Apparently Krishna is in a suffering condition, miserable condition, in order to bring auspiciousness to our lives. those who are good people, those who are endowed with human qualities, when they hear about the distresses and difficulties of people, their heart automatically becomes sympathetic towards them. Not only sympathetic, their heart also cries in pain, seeing the distressful situation of the person. The good people are sympathetic, good people are compassionate, good people are soft-hearted. And bad people are cruel, bad people are hard-hearted. So there are two types of people in this world, good and bad. So when the good people, the sadhus, when they hear how Krishna appeared, then immediately their heart becomes agonized. They feel pain. And that pain actually causes a natural attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even those who did not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just by hearing about how Krishna appeared, would become attracted to Krishna. Now, in one hand, Krishna is appearing in such a distressful situation. Jai Shri Shri Gaurangi Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Jivadhari Gopal Ki Jai. So Krishna is appearing in a distressful situation on one hand, but at the same time we are getting to hear that how the demigods came and offered prayers to Krishna. Krishna appeared in the prison, but he appeared in his forearm forms. Krishna appeared in the prison when Kamsa imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison, tied down with shackles and with chains and guarded in such a way that it has been described that Kamsa was so afraid of the demigods coming and preventing his plan or outsmarting his plan, Kamsa made arrangements that nobody could even enter into the prison. Even the birds couldn't fly from the top of the prison. He was so cautious. He was so afraid, and therefore he took such precautions. But although the guards were guarding the prison house, and they were all very powerful demons, but they all fell asleep. The chains became loose. The doors automatically opened up. And Vasudev could take Krishna out of the prison. And when he came out of the prison, it was raining in torrents. An incredible shower of rain. And Vasudev was carrying Krishna in his hands. But at that time, to protect him from the rain, Anantashesh appeared and held his hood over his head to prevent him from the rain. Then when Vasudev came in front of the bank of Jamuna, he found that Jamuna was completely full, and there was no way he could cross the river, and there was no boat, there was nothing, just Jamuna was overflowing practically, and he was hesitating what to do now, how to cross Jamuna. And at that time one jackal just appeared there, and the jackal started to walk through the river. And so Vasudev got an indication, maybe if I follow the jackal, then I can also cross the river. And he did that, he just followed the jackal. Who was the jackal? Jackal was Jogamaya herself. And then when they came into the mid-river, all of a sudden Krishna slipped out of his hand. Can you imagine his condition? And the river is in full spate. It was such a deep river, and the child fell out of his hand. Can you imagine Vasudev's condition at that time? He was just searching for the child. Then finally he found. Actually what happened is, Jamuna thought, oh, my Lord is come. My Lord has come, and I won't get an opportunity to embrace him. So she made the arrangement that Krishna would fall out of Vasudev's hand. So Jamuna played with Krishna for a little while and then gave him back to Vasudev. And in this way, Vasudev came to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And again, by the arrangement of Jogamaya, everyone in the house also was fast asleep. Even Jasoda Mai also was fast asleep. So these are the wonderful arrangements of Krishna's internal potency, Jogamaya. Although Krishna appears like an ordinary human child, but these are his pastimes. Why these pastimes? These pastimes have two aspects. One aspect is Krishna derives pleasure out of that, and Krishna attracts his devotees towards him through his pastime. Iti driksha lilavhir ananda kunde. In this way, through his pastimes, Krishna submerges his devotees. Shaghosham nimajjantam akhapayantam. Shaghosham, his devotees are nimajjantam, are submerged in an ocean of joy. He performs his pastimes and in all kinds of, in most wonderful way. Sometimes, especially Krishna's Naralila, a human-like appearance. That is, Krishna's Dibhuj appearance, two-armed appearance as a human being are the most attractive ones. Krishnero jateko khela tar moddhe Naralila, Naro bopu taharo sharup. Of all the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna's pastimes in the human-like forms are most attractive. Why? Because Naro Bopu Taharo Sharup. The human-like form is Krishna's original form. That is Krishna's original form. A man has been created according to the image of Krishna. The human form is actually Krishna's original form. And that original form means that is Krishna, that is the swarup, swayam rup of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead looks like a human being. Not the four-armed Narayan form. The Dibhuj Shamsundar form is Krishna's original form. And in this form, Krishna actually displays his most attractive leelas, pastimes. Compared to these pastimes, Krishna's Vaikuntha leelas are quite stale, quite insipid. Because the mellows are not, the loving exchanges are not so perfectly enhanced in those pastimes. Those pastimes are ranging in only two mellows, neutrality and servitorship, servant and master relationship. But when Krishna enacts his Naralila, his human-like form, then the other three mellows are perfectly manifest. In Vaikuntha there is only Shanta and Dasya. But in Vrindavan, Sakya, Vatsalya and Mathura. These three mellows are predominant. Santa and Dasya are subdued there. The predominant mellows are Sakya, Vatsalya and Mathura. Friendship, parental and conjugal. Generally, in Vaikuntha, these mellows are not manifest. One cannot develop these mellows there. How can one become a friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when friendship is among equals? How can one become the parent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead where the parenthood is superior to the offspring, to the child? And the conjugal, the loving relationship like that of young boys and girls, how can one develop that kind of relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But in Brajalila, that is not only manifest, but most perfectly manifest. And the principal mellow in Braja is actually conjugal. Parental and friendship are the supporting mellows. The principal mellow is the conjugal mellow. So, Leela, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is meant for attracting us towards the Lord and giving us the taste of highest joy, highest bliss. And by doing that, through this loving exchange, Krishna enjoys and his devotees enjoy. But those who cannot appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are unfortunate. Abhakto hin char. Those who are not devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are abhaktas, they are most unfortunate. Heen char. So in this way, through his pastimes, Krishna creates the opportunity to the living entities to become his devotees, to become attracted towards him and become his devotees. And this, therefore, it begins with Shraddha. The positive approach to the Supreme Personality of Godhead begins with Shraddha. Faith. We have to have the faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this faith will develop when we hear from the devotees of Krishna. And what do the devotees of Krishna do? Devotees of Krishna simply speaks about Krishna. They simply speaks about Krishna from on the basis of the authority of the scriptures. So two things we have to consider here, that we have to accept whatever has been spoken in the scriptures is the truth, the absolute truth. And whatever the devotees are saying about Krishna is the truth and nothing but the truth. When it is described that all the shackles, the chains fell off in Kamsa's prison from Vasudev's hands and feet by the arrangement of Yogamaya, we have to accept that. When it is said that Krishna appeared in his four-armed form, we have to accept that. When it is said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have to accept that. And there is enough reasons those to believe that, to understand that, because they are properly supported with all kinds of wonderful logical presentation of Krishna's pastimes. In one hand, Krishna is appearing in the prison house of Kamsa, but the demigods are coming and offering prayers to him. Although Krishna is the unborn, but still Krishna was there in the womb of Mother Devaki. Although Krishna is unborn, he took birth as Mother, as Devaki's child. So we have to accept the authority of the scriptures. Whatever has been spoken in the scriptures, whatever has been mentioned in the scriptures, we have to accept without any doubt. And as we keep on reading the scriptures, as we keep on understanding, as we keep on progressing in Krishna consciousness, these presentations, these points become justified. These points become confirmed. But we have to begin with faith. We have to accept with faith. And that is the first aspect, Shraddha, Ado Shraddha. Just like we accept with faith when the mother says this is A, we accept with faith it is A. And when we grow up, it becomes confirmed A is A and B is B and so forth. When you read books, it becomes confirmed that A is A and B is B and C is C. So similarly, we begin with faith. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there will be enough evidence to reconfirm that faith. So we begin with faith, and then as we approach, we experience joy. Krishna reciprocates. We accept Krishna with faith, and that faith becomes confirmed with Krishna's reciprocation. We begin to experience how Krishna is reciprocating. Everyone has that experience. Everyone is blessed with that experience. Krishna confirms, yes, I am real. I am there. And whenever you are in difficulty, I will be there to protect you. Don't worry. I will provide whatever you lack, and I will protect whatever you have. Krishna is giving that assurance. Yoga kshema baham maham. You accept me with faith, you surrender unto me, you become my devotee, I'll take care of you in all respects. And not only I'll take care of you, not only I'll free you from your suffering condition, but I'll submerge you in an ocean of joy. And he provides that experience to the devotees. And that is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Gradually it is bringing us to the 10th canto. And there, the identity of the Supreme, Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed. His most wonderful pastimes have been revealed. And when you become exposed to those pastimes, our hearts become filled with joy. It is not that we have to be in Krishna's pastimes in order to experience those joys, that joy. But just by hearing also we can experience that joy. And therefore there is no difference between being in Krishna's pastimes and hearing about Krishna's pastimes. It is not that had we been here 5,000 years ago, we would have been very fortunate, we could have entered into Krishna's pastimes. That opportunity is there now also, through Srimad Bhagavatam. Even 5,000 years after Krishna's appearance, and Krishna's appearance on this planet, today also, even 5,000 years after, we have the same opportunity. We can enter into Krishna's pastimes through Srimad Bhagavatam. As a matter of fact, we are more fortunate than if we are there 5,000 years ago, because now we have come at a time when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and he created an inconceivable good fortune for the living entities in this age. Even those who are not in Krishna's pastimes are getting an opportunity to enter into Krishna's pastimes through Mahaprabhu's mercy. And not only 5,000 years, 500 years ago, It is fortunate that we are here right now. Because even if we came 500 years ago, we might not have received Mahaprabhu's mercy. Like if we are in America 500 years ago, we couldn't enter into Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But by Prabhupada's mercy, now we can enter into Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Because Prabhupada has created the good fortune. And we have the opportunity to enter into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in a most wonderful way. So hearing is not different from being in there. If the hearing is proper, if the hearing is with proper faith, if the hearing is with proper understanding, then yes, we will be. We'll see that they are non-different. Hearing about Krishna and Krishna himself are non-different. Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jayadita Maharaj, will you please elaborate?
Well, I'll just make a comment that in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, elsewhere maybe sometimes, but here especially, the Prabhupada sometimes directed his editors to insert some section of Krishna book.
Oh.
So, in this purport, at least part of the purport is just directly taken from Krishna.
Yeah, yeah, which part?
Sure.
Oh, at that time, all directions eastern. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, also, this also, when the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellations became very auspicious. This is from Krishna Tattva. Yeah, actually, practically the whole purport is. Thank you, Maharaj. Any question? Okay, thank you. Yes.
well, one question I had was, is it a mystical thing, trying to understand how it is that, if we say, when we hear about Krishna's pastimes, we actually are able to partake or enter in, the pastimes have very specific events. It seems like all of the parts have been taken. So how do I actually experience for myself different from just witnessing like a movie?
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, as I said, like it will depend upon our faith. To what extent we are actually accepting it. Say, for example, Gadadhar Pandit, you see, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was, he had some doubt about this person, an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he was indulging in such luxury. But then, just by one incident, when he heard about Krishna's pastimes, just by hearing that, he fainted. Now tell me, how could one faint just by hearing one verse? He was transported into that pastimes in such a way that he was seeing Krishna. Right? He was there in the pastimes. And he just fainted. Now, ordinarily we don't, we hear so many shlokas describing Krishna's pastime. But do we experience that? We do not. Mm-hmm. But when somebody who is very advanced, he actually reacts in a different way. Like another time, just by seeing the peacock fan, is peacock fan, a fan made out of peacock feather, was being was used in fanning somebody. Just by seeing the peacock feather, he got into ecstasy. Like that peacock feather brought back those memories of Krishna in such a way, such an intense way, that he lost his external consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing not in front of Jagannath, way at the back of the temple, a huge temple, and way at the back of the temple room by the Garuda Stampa. Tears were flowing from his eyes just by seeing Lord Jagannath. What was he actually seeing? So these are the impetus for the recollections. Like more advanced one is, he becomes transported into that pastime. And it depends upon one's advancement. And advancement is again, is a matter of one's faith. Like a person who is fully advanced, he has 100% faith in Krishna. That is, he is so much involved in Krishna consciousness that there is no doubt, no room for any doubt. And that is actually what advancement means.
Seems like to fully understand that you have to experience it for yourself.
Yes, right, exactly, exactly. And it's a matter of, ultimately it's a matter of attachment, it's a matter of relationship. Like say, just to give an example, sort of mundane example, you know, say a mother lost her child. And then after she, you know, with time she practically forgot that. Then all of a sudden one day she sees a toy which was very dear to the child. And what happens to the mother? She breaks down. That this toy is the impetus to that such intense memory that it transported her into that time when the child was playing with the toys. Right? And just the sight, just as being transported to that moment, you know, made her, you know, made her kind of, it took her to that point in time, so that, you know, she broke down like that. The same thing with devotees, advanced devotees' reactions towards hearing about Krishna. Therefore, it is not different. And of course, this mundane example was just, there is a difference. But it was just to give an example. But in the spiritual, it is non-different. Like, to hear about Krishna is non-different from being transported into Krishna's pastimes. Mm-hmm. Because they're so, you know, so attached, they're so pure. They're so close to Krishna, they are actually with Krishna. And this impetus actually brings them to that point where the name and the personality are non-different. Narration about the pastimes and the pastimes are non-different. Because although we are hearing, apparently we are hearing those pastimes in some mundane situation, in the material nature, but they are actually transporting a pure devotee to the spiritual sky, and he is seeing Krishna face to face there. For example, Brahma Samhita. Apparently, Brahma saw Krishna, right, through the chanting the mantras, meditating upon Gayatri. He saw Krishna in the heart. But what did he see Krishna? How did he see Krishna? That is Brahma Samhita. He has been transported to the spiritual sky. He is seeing Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu. Here, everything is made out of touchstone. The trees are desire trees. So Brahma is seeing that way. And he is seeing the gopis are serving him in such a reverential attitude. Krishna is standing with flute in his hand, and by playing his flute he is enchanting the entire spiritual sky. So that is that is the meaning of seeing Krishna being transported to the spiritual sky. So similarly, by hearing Krishna's pastimes in a right frame of consciousness, pure frame of consciousness, also transports one to the spiritual sky. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, it was just one other thing. Actually, you know, somebody brought this up yesterday, and you mentioned about, you know, the fact that we are experiencing more mercy today than we would have if we had lived during Krishna's pastime, because Krishna was not giving out praying to any and everybody, you know, which I think did that. And he did that because he has, you know, he came with Radharani's mood of compassion, you know, so that everybody's experienced what she is experiencing. But Krishna didn't do that because, you know, because prema controls him, he doesn't want to be controlled by unscrupulous people, any and everybody, you know. So, understandably, you know, but what I don't understand is that Radharani, she loves Krishna so much. And so, although I understand her compassion in that she wants everybody to experience the love, that the joy, the happiness of the love that she is experiencing, why, because of her love for Krishna, why isn't she also as careful about how Krishna's prema is distributed?
In this respect, one analogy has been given. Like, you see, generally a king, although he can make a beggar into a millionaire, but he generally doesn't do that. Right? The beggars in the street, king doesn't go out of his way to make him a millionaire. Right? But if a king wants, he could do that. Right? But he generally doesn't do that because it is not appropriate, or it is not done. But if the king becomes mad, then what happens? The king can say, okay, he becomes mad, and king behaves in an erratic way. He says, look, open up my treasury. And anybody who wants can come and take whatever wealth he wants to take from there. If the king becomes mad, he can behave like that. And nobody can actually prevent the king. And the King of Kings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became mad in Krishna prema. And that's why he's behaving in such a way, which otherwise he wouldn't do. So that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Krishna who became mad in Krishna prema. And that's why he's distributing it. And when his associates are seeing that he is doing that, his ministers, his treasurer, and all those who are around him, they are also saying, okay, let's do that. If the king wants it, we will make it happen. And that's what happened. When Krishna started to behave like that, Balaram said, oh, this is how Krishna is behaving. I'll also do that. I'll do it even more than Krishna. So, and this is what kind of transcendental madness that's going on in this world. Therefore, those who are not taking advantage of it, they're most unfortunate. The paupers, the beggars, they have the opportunity to become millionaires. All they have to do is just go to the treasury of the king, and start take as much as they can. So that is the good fortune of this age, people of this age.
Prema made him crazy.
Yes, Jagannath.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I've heard said that when we say that Krishna takes care of us and will take care of all of our needs and we don't have to worry about that, that I've heard said that he means spiritually, or spiritual needs, but I've also heard said that he means both spiritually and materially. Mm-hmm. So in such an economic climate with so many devotees as well as everybody else are materially suffering in many ways, losing jobs and things like that, how should we understand him to take care of us, and how should we depend on him? Just by keeping up our seva and our sadhana, or what?
Well, we have to look at it with Krishna consciousness. The situation we have to look at with Krishna consciousness. Like, it's like, again, another example can be given, analogy can be given. You see, the children are playing in the field. They're completely absorbed in the game. Then at one point, when it is for them to time to become serious and go back into their studies, the father comes and says, okay, game's up, now you come. Come home and study. So what's going on in this material nature is just like a game. And they're playing games, right? And now, because they're so attached to the game, they're upset. Oh, now we have to give up our play. But the thing is, the father is saying, okay, now you come home. Get back to your studies. Like, if they're absorbed in this game, see, as a matter of fact, you know, like, see, although many of the devotees, they have accepted Krishna consciousness seriously, but how is their time spent? How much time for Krishna and how much time for earning money? Right? So if Krishna says, okay, now you become serious about your spiritual life, and he is, you know, to us it may appear to be, oh, Krishna is being so cruel, he's putting us through all these difficulties, but don't worry, Krishna will take care. It's not that this money in the bank is taking care of you all, right? It's Krishna who is taking care. And when Krishna withdraws his care, then no matter how much money one has in the bank, you know, he'll be finished. Yeah. The ultimate goal of life is not to depend on money. Ultimate goal of life is to depend upon Krishna and his mercy. And Krishna is actually forcing us now, become serious. You had played enough, and now become serious. Lose your job means what? Game is up. Now you have to become serious. You have been running after money for so many years, you've made so many millions and put it in your bank, and you thought that was the goal of your life. But now you realize that this is not the goal of your life. So what will happen is that through this, those who have accepted Krishna consciousness will become more serious about Krishna consciousness, if they are properly situated in their Krishna consciousness. And this situation will force many others to become Krishna conscious, when they will see that situation is hopeless, there is no way out, then they will have to turn towards Krishna. Chandrasekhar, you had a question?
A small question. You mentioned the example of someone who lived on Earth 500 years ago in America at the time of Lord Chaitanya. So to take the scenario a bit further, imagine that person is very sinful. As a result, he takes birth in animal species and is away from the human form for more than 10,000 years. By the time he comes back to the human form, Lord Chaitanya's Sanskirtan movement is gone, and the Kali Yuga is full-fledged, manifest. How unfortunate is that soul? And if that's the case, then we can almost think how unfair it is, or where is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya if the person was there during his pastime, just in a different geographical place, and loses out completely.
In this respect, Prabhupada once made a point that don't worry about how all these people in the marketplace are going to sleep, where they are going to sleep. Just figure out where you are going to sleep. So what's going to happen to others, don't worry about that. Just first consider what's going to happen to you. You have this opportunity, take advantage of this opportunity. And then try to create the good fortune for others. Those who are in heavenly planets, those who are going to be there and miss out on Mahaprabhu's mercy, what's the point in worrying about that? Or what's the point in worrying about those who are going to come after 10,000 years? Rather, those who are here right now, try to create the good fortune for them. And Krishna will take care. Krishna will take care of everyone. It's not our business to take care of everybody, but at least we can take care of somebody. Those who can take care, let's take care of them. And have the confidence that Krishna will take care of everybody. But if I can help Krishna in some way, that's my good fortune. That's why devotees go out and preach. To create the good fortune for others, because it will assist Krishna's in a very difficult job to turn the conditioned souls towards him. Yes, Archana.
No, even if, like you mentioned, that the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so influenced by Krishna's pastime. So at every second, there is one place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also having his pastime.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. So.
Yeah, just as sun's influence is spread in the form of time, all 24 hours, all over the planet. Similarly, all Krishna's pastimes are also going on simultaneously. Like somewhere Krishna is just born, somewhere Krishna is killing putana, somewhere Krishna is stealing butter. All are going on simultaneously, right now. And somewhere it's dark, like no light of the sun, like here. But even then, Bhagavatam, when the sun set, then Bhagavatam appeared to give out the light. So here we are having access to all of Krishna's pastimes at the same time, through Srimad Bhagavatam. Chandrasekhar, yeah. Yes. Was it alright? Like, you got the answer? And Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada ki. His Holiness Jayadvita Maharaj ki. All glories to the Assembly of all.